Thanks for joining us at the Liberty City Podcast. Liberty City values each person's unique experience with faith, and we hope that this word impacts you today.
As you're giving this afternoon, if you grab out your Bible and turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 1, and also the book of Philippians chapter 3, and I want to talk to you today for a few minutes, actually to close out our Summer of Healing series. And it feels like it was just the other day. Thank you, Meredith. It feels like it was just the other day that we started the series. We started quite randomly, and we were kind of sitting here, and Jaden was speaking, and which you should do again soon because that was excellent. And he was speaking, and then we just thought, man, we just feel like God really wants to. Because Nadia and I had had a few conversations with people one-on-one about some hurt or offense that they had in their own lives. And it became kind of a recurring thing. And then I was like, man, maybe God wants to do something for those people. And then Jaden spoke, and it was like, actually, God really does. Corporately, not just individually. Because I think that as a church, you want to be able to do both. You want to be able to speak corporately on an issue or teach on an issue, but then privately be able to talk with people about that. That's what being in a community is all about. Not just turning up on Sunday and hearing a sermon, so to speak, but midweek. And we were doing the midweek stuff, but man, let's go after it on a Sunday. So we kind of spoke about hurt and offense and forgiveness and the danger of resentment and a whole bunch of stuff. Baptized 6 people 2 weeks ago, which was amazing. Really, really cool. Really, really cool. It was brilliant. And then we had last week like a panel hearing from, I really, really enjoyed hearing from those people last week, and the kind of the depth and the spread of kind of like angles that people brought. And it's always hard, isn't it, when you hear a panel and you're on the panel, right? Which I sort of wasn't really on. But then people talk about one particular person, you know, but you were on the panel too. And then you're like, oh, cheers. You know, like, so everyone on the panel was great, and we'll get an invite back to another panel at some stage, okay? But Natasha Richmond was particularly great. Like, I felt like we should just have had her number up on the screen just so that people could text. She's like our in-church counselor. And so, and also Dave Bazinet was a hypothetical example of someone who was getting called out and roasted last week on the panel. And I thought that was a bit much, you know? But like, he wasn't pushing back because he's like, partly true. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know? But hey, if you have a Bible, grab it out. Go with me. Book of Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 6. And let me just say one last thing, two quick things. Number one is, if you haven't heard or been a part of the series at all, whether you've been just on cottage vacations or you're new to our community, let me encourage you to have a listen to those podcasts. They're all available online, because it's going to give you Andy Gale, who was leading worship, who's down here, his fiance, her name is Alex. She read the Bible last year in 30 days, or this year in 30 days, in January, 30 days. And it's a skim read, and so you're not getting heaps from it. But what she said was, it gave me the whole tree. So it gave me like a really good, quick, kind of 30-day, kind of chronological, like, oh, I can see where these things fit, picture of really what is 66 books in one. And if I could use that example, like for the duration of this 5 or 6 week series, if you come today and just hear what I'm about to say to you today, it might be like, oh, I feel like I've missed stuff. You definitely have. So if you have some time and you want to, download those podcasts and stay up to date, because we're trying to give every angle we can on what is some major issues in people's lives. And then the second thing I want to say is, if you are new today, we're having a supper at our place tonight, and you should come. So come and, you know, holler at us afterwards. Deuteronomy 1 verse 6 says this: "The Lord our God said to us at Horeb, 'You have stayed long enough at this mountain. Break camp and advance into the hill country of the Amorites. Go to all the neighboring peoples in the Arabah, in the mountains, in the western foothills, in the Negev, and along the coast, to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon, as far as the great river, the Euphrates. See, I have given you this land. Go in and take possession of the land the Lord swore that he would give to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and to their descendants after them.'" Philippians 3 verse 13 says this: "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." And Father, we love you, and we love your Bible, and we know that it's the only book that as we read it, it reads us. And today, God, as we read your word and as we kind of take a few minutes to teach from it, deconstruct it, we pray, God, that you would speak to us. There's nothing more important in our lives than hearing from you, because hearing from you can change us, can shape us, can mold us. And we love you, Jesus, and we center this next few moments around the words that you have spoken. And we ask that you would speak to us in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. I don't know about you, but you have those moments in life when you talk to somebody and you're kind of expecting that they might respond a certain way. And they respond not the way that you want, but maybe the way that you need. So you might be talking to someone and you're expecting empathy and maybe some, you know, whatever, and then they give you the hard truth. You might be talking like, hey, so man, whoo-wee, been really going through it. And then you kind of open up your heart and you're transparent with someone and then they hit you with the, oh, you should just get over it. And you're like, okay, well, this will be the last time we have a discussion about my feelings. I was in my year 13 year, which where I'm from in New Zealand, is our senior year. I think here you go to grade 12. For some reason, we have an additional year of schooling. I'm not sure. That's a policy issue for the Labour Party. And we go, I was in year 13, and I was about to deliver to my high school my valedictorian speech. I was what you might call like the student body president. Call it in New Zealand like the head prefect. And I was about to give the most important speech of my 17, 18-year-old life. And I'd written my speech, and my school had 600 to 800 people in it, so it's kind of like a reasonable-sized school, not massive, not small, but definitely feeling it. And I wrote my speech, and I was kind of like, oh, I had a great mirror in my room, huge mirror. Like, picture a good-sized mirror. My mirror was three times that size. It was awesome. And so I delivered my speech to my mirror, and then I was like, I need a physical person to actually, like, hear this. And so I went and found my mum, and I was like, Mum, could I deliver my speech to you and give me your thoughts? She's like, yeah, of course. And I'm like, okay, well, here we go. And then I gave the speech. And I honestly thought my speech at that point was almost ready. And then I was like, so, what do you think? What did you think? What do you think? What do you think? What are your thoughts? And she said, and she goes, yeah, no, it was fine. My mum's of that personality type where her encouragement to you comes through her trying to make you better. I'm not sure how that works, but they're two quite different things. And she said, it's fine. And then she said, I think you can do better. It wasn't what I wanted to hear, but I think at that point, in terms of that speech and that moment in my life, it was exactly what I needed to hear. So in spite of her, I went back and invested hours and hours and hours and delivered on that night what might have been the greatest speech of my life, probably the only speech to that point of my life. We think about God and we think about him, and I certainly hope that we preach to you a God who is benevolent and loving and empathetic and wonderful. But with God can also come this other part of him, because he's truth and justice. He's like, he's mercy, but he also wants to make sure that he's not lying to himself with what he tells you. That he's got to be true to himself when he speaks to us. So he'll say, I love you, you're made in my image, everything's going to be okay. But right through the Bible, we see God speaking to his people in these quite quirky ways. There's this moment where Elijah is found under a tree, and the angel of the Lord turns up, and he's like, you know, just chatting with Elijah, who's an Old Testament prophet, and he's just had a rough day, Elijah. Well, he's had a great day, which kind of actually turned suicidal, so he's really not in a good space. And God turns up, angel of the Lord, he's like, hey, so what's happening under this tree? And Elijah's like, wow, and gives him a little monologue. And then God just says, cool, get up and eat. And that's all he says. That's actually not bad advice, but it might not be what he wanted to hear. That same man, the next chapter, is in a cave, and God turns up and literally says to Elijah in the cave, what are you doing here? In other words, why are you still low? Why are you still down on yourself? Why are you still in this space? And God says to Job, and Job's having, you know, he's having a rant, and understandably, if you know the story of Job, and God, this is what God says to Job. Do you send the lightning bolts on their way? Do they report to you? Have you commanded the morning to appear or shown the dawn its place? I have. Like, God will often hit us with something that we might not be necessarily ready to hear from him. And I sort of feel that as the culmination, and Mike, would you mind throwing back up Deuteronomy, verse 6, right at the start of that scripture that we read earlier, that I feel like right at the end of our sort of 4 or 5 week, 6 week journey, talking about healing, there comes a point where it says here, the Lord said to us, to the community, to the group of people that he was leading, he said, you have stayed long enough at this mountain. Break camp and advance. I caught up with Joao earlier after we were working on the muscle team, which, by the way, Nadia already mentioned it, but I was on the muscle team today. I brought the guys through. Like I invited a whole bunch of guys to come. And it was my first setup in our church for like in this as a part of our church. Did some last year, but they were kind of like pretty low key. But I was amazed and blown away. But today, Mike led the team with the efficiency, with the fun, with the like camaraderie that we had as a part of that environment. And I was so, so stoked. And I just know that all the guys that came today, you're going to be a part of a great community of men moving forward. But it says this, it says, you have stayed long enough. And I'm talking with Joao and I said, Joao, break camp in advance. That's like military. And he's like, yeah, that's military language. And we sort of began talking over our, well, you had, I mean, let's be honest, whatever the Frappuccino that you had was nothing against my nitro cold brew, you know? We're talking away about how the fact when it comes to those words, when it says break camp, really what that means is like snuff out the fires, grab your belongings, but only take what you need. And I think that what God's going to do today is he's going to begin to speak to his people today and say, as we break camp in advance and move forward in our lives, as we decide that it's time to move on, what God's going to be saying to us is he's going to highlight some things that you don't need to take with you. So if you're a hoarder in this place, this is not the sermon that you want to hear, but I think it's the sermon you need to hear. Signage is funny. We talked a little bit about signage last week, but you know when you have no loitering signs? That's like a clear signal from the business owner, you know, like, don't hang out here. At Starbucks, you know, you buy a coffee, which is really you purchasing real estate for 3 hours. I don't know about you, but you can't just walk into Starbucks, use the Wi-Fi, which is easy to get on and highly efficient and very quick. And it's the same, usually the same password in every Starbucks. You don't just want to walk in, not buy anything, sit down and start to use there. But you buy a coffee, you feel like you could stay there all day. But you loiter, you hang, you overstay. When you overstay at somebody's house, when you're at a restaurant and you've paid the bill and you're finished, but there's vibes on vibes, and so you don't leave. They then clear the plates, they clear everything. So now there's nothing on your table. It's getting to the point where they're now resetting it for the next person, but you're still there, you know? And God's sort of saying, when it comes to overstaying in the wrong season, you've got to recognize that it might be, for some of us, time, because we've addressed the hurt, we've talked about the resentment, we've embraced forgiveness, but now what? Well, now it's time. It's time to move on. Right through the Bible, you think about those examples that I gave. You think about Moses, think about Job, think about Elijah. All of those men, tired, rejected, hurt, offended, and yet God spoke to all of them and said, you have been here long enough. It is time to break camp and advance. To break camp means to close down a campsite. In New Zealand, Nadia and I, when we were youth pastors for 10, 11, 12 years, we ran one of the coolest things we did. Maybe the coolest thing we did was we ran a youth summer camp. And it was Monday to Friday, 4 nights. We probably had 9 meetings. So one like 4 night meetings, 5 midday meetings, a couple of relationship panels. And some of the young people, that's a have to. A few different things, massive tribal wars every day. And there would have been, I think, 700 full-time registrations at the camp. It was a lot of fun. And when we're at the camp having a good time, the leaders know that you have to retain a little bit of energy from your late night antics for the pack down of the camp. Because you know, if you've got teams full of teenagers that are going to like help you pack down the camp, you know, they're jumping on the bus and going home as soon as they get an opportunity. And so you'd be like walking around the camp afterwards, just like, you know, you've got enough energy to make sure that you give the campsite back to the camp owners better than you found it, or at least as good. And you're walking down and things are pretty good, like, you know, where you ate and stuff, yeah, pretty clean, you know, the camp's got some staff doing some work, and the main kind of like thoroughfare areas, not bad. A bit of flour and eggs and whatever, some like stray paintball guns, you know, like paintball pellets, whatever, no big dramas. And then you walk down to where the boys tented, because the boys always tented outside. Walk down to where the boys, their tent, we called it Tent City. It's like just a large area of tents. And it should be empty, because all the boys who bought the tents should have taken the tents home. Right? Well, I should rephrase that. The boys who brought the tents. Because you know those boys didn't bought the tents. Someone else bought them. They just brought them. And so I'm walking down, and I would get there, like, you know, texting the boys. Boys, how's it going down in Tent City? Yeah, dominating. Just crushing. You know, like, amazing. I hope that means it's clean. Like, that's basically all I want. Walk down. Just brand new tents, fully still erected. And so you're like, this is like a Kathmandu tent. It's probably like a $400 tent. Brand new. It still smells new. Guitars,
just strewn, just like just sports equipment, volleyball nets, full buckets, like baskets full of balls for the nets and cricket, all these things kind of set up. And the leader's like, yeah, how's it going? Yeah, it's going good, bro. Going well down here. I'm like, what about this tent? They're like, no, don't worry about it. Because if no one claims it, your boy gets to keep it. You know what I mean? It got me thinking about breaking camp. These teenagers don't understand the value of property ownership because they own nothing. But they do understand the value of just leaving things behind that they think they don't need. And I do believe that we should value the things we own. But I also think that there's a truckload of things that you have in your life that you don't need. There's some past hurts that you just don't need. There's some conversations that you're involved in that you just don't need. There's some offense, you just don't need it. There's some resentment that you just don't need. There's some cynical attitudes that we just don't need. There's some overly judgmental attitudes or some increasing sensitivity or less and less transparency that we just don't need. To break camp means to close down the campsite and leave behind and take with us only the things that we need. See, Marie Kondo kind of beat me to the punch. She's talking about minimalism and lifestyle. What about minimalism and emotions in your spirituality? In your thinking, there are so many things that we've experienced that we should process and we should forgive and we should learn and we should become better. But then there has to be a moment where we just simply move on. I was sitting down with, what's that wonderful couple? Sandy, Craig and Sandy in Auckland. And they were going on this, which is a trend today, going on this world trip. But they were like hustling the trip. These guys were like, it's certainly not impoverished. Not hugely wealthy, but wealthy enough to go on a trip and be able to afford it. But they're like, no, this is going to be the cheapest world trip we've ever been on. We're going to stay in Airbnbs, or we're going to like just jump on the back of like house sits, and we're going to take the least amount of stuff. And I was like, that sounds amazing. Sounds like we could all do that. They're like, yeah, no, we're going to do it on a string budget, the best. I was like, that's cool. Cool. Well, have the best time. You know, when do you leave? They're like, in like a week. I'm like, well, oh my gosh, it's going to be great. And they're like, cool, hey, we need to go because we've got some stuff to do. I'm like, yeah, for the trip. They're like, exactly. I'm like, what are you doing tonight? The trip's in a week. They're like, we need to practice. I'm like, well, practice what? Flying? Like, practice the emergency thing? Like, what are you practicing? They're like, oh, we're going to pack, then unpack. And I was like, okay, I'm not like the seasoned traveler, but, you know, I've never heard of that before. What do you mean? And they're like, well, what we're going to do is we're going to pack our suitcases, make sure we've got everything that we need, weigh it, take it off the scales, and figure out if there's anything that we can take out that's not necessary for our trip. And then he got serious, Craig. He's like, Levi, because you know that airlines have different weight allowances. He says, sometimes like in New Zealand, 24 kilos, Delta, 21. He says, what you don't want to do is carry an additional 3 kilos, because if you do that for 2 months, how many times are we going to be given bills and asked to pay more and more money for stuff we didn't need? He says, have you looked in your toiletries bag recently? And I was like, no, I haven't. You know, like. And he said, I think you should. He said, there's a lot of space that's unused in a toiletries bag, especially as a man. Because as a man, you get given a hard leather case. You're expected to fill it. He says, no, plastic bags. So I went home that night. I had a good look at my toiletries bag. Craig was right. Got me thinking, though. If these guys are practice packing for a holiday, why don't we practice pack for a lifetime? If these guys are figuring out what they can take to save themselves some money on a 2-month trip around the world, why don't you and me figure out what we're packing for our life, not to save ourselves a little bit of money, but save ourselves a little bit of heartache? You see, friends, the issue with packing for this trip or packing for your life is that there are some things that are exclusive of one another that you can't pack them both on this trip that we call life. You can't pack resentment and forgiveness. You can't pack judgment and acceptance. You can't pack critique and empathy. You can't pack gossip and silence. You can't pack sensitivity and being unoffendable. You have to decide what it is that you're going to pack in your bag on this trip that we call life. You don't need that hurt. You don't need that offense. You do not need that insecurity. Today's the day for us as a community to consolidate our belongings. A day for us to have a good look at our lives and simply decide, what are we going to take with us? The world is our oyster. We get to shape the future with the things that we bring with us. And Jesus gives us that it was Dave before and it was Dave just then. He's been easily been the loudest guy in the church. Wasn't that before? Love you, bro. I call relationship with Christ, well, as of today, the great Kijiji trade. Because in Kijiji, by the way, Jeff Schroeder, Kijiji King. Honestly, if you need help figuring out how to find deals online, talk to Jeff after the service and try and get the recipe of his wife for that bread. And if you get it, let me know. And if she doesn't give it to you, don't be offended, because I think it's like a family secret. We shouldn't even be talking about it. An anonymous woman baked bread for the church, you know, who's married to Jeff. And so when it comes to Kijiji, you find something that you want. Like, I've been looking for so if you have one, no, hint, ministry of hints. Been looking for like a kids trailer attachment for my bike to throw my two young kids in so we can go for a cruise. And I've got four on the watch, just on the heart. Just hearted four of them, you know? And so now I'm trying to figure out, like, who of those people is going to be willing to come down on the offer? Because then I'm really looking. Oh, there's some rust there. So I'm trying to find one that's good enough for me to buy, but bad enough for me to haggle on the price. A couple of tips I learned from someone I know whose wife baked bread. Take cash to the negotiations, right? But then he's also like, don't set up a time where you're going to go and then hit them on the spot with like I'll give you, and then hit them with 30% of the value of what they've offered. Because then you're just wasting people's time. So there's some strategy. And then all I'm going to get out of that is a two-baby trailer to take my kids for a bike, which is going to be great. Think about now that concept with our relationship with Christ. He gets such a bad deal. Have you ever considered what he has to get? Like at the foot of the cross, we're going to leave all of our baggage, all of our sin, our horrific behavior. We are sinful at birth. We try and do good, but we can't. And it's like, Jesus, you're amazing. Take it all. And then he's like, yeah, no worries. Keep it coming. As often as possible, lay down at the foot of the cross everything that you shouldn't carry. I want to make your job as easy as possible. You should be as light as possible. Right now, the things in your life that you hate and resent the most, this is why we have this. This is why he died. And then he goes, wait. Before you go, let me give you a few things. How about the help of the Holy Spirit to make sure that you're empowered to do everything that you need? And we're like, whoa, hey, it's not a bad deal. He's like, oh, he's like, it gets even better. How about I make your life better instantly? How about I plug you into a community of people that love you? How about I can enhance your life and show you principles about how to live through a love letter that I wrote and bound in leather? Thank you, Zondervan. 66 books written just for you. He says, wait, it gets better. How about eternity in heaven with me? And I'm giving you, I'm like, have you read Capitalism 101? Do you understand the transaction that's taking place? And yes, he has. And yes, he does. And because of that, we get to make that transaction today, where we can say, God, there's so much that I don't want to take with me on this journey. Could you help take it? Break camp. And the second thing I want to talk to you about is the word advance. Because it says to break camp. And the next thing that God says to Moses is to advance. God's advice to Moses was not just to sort himself out. I appreciate that. God's advice to Moses was not just to figure out what he's packing for his future, but he also encouraged him to keep on moving, to not stop, to not give up, to move forward, to climb the next mountain, and to be bold. When you look at me, I know you think a few things. One of the things that you don't think when you look at me is, well, this guy's an athlete. That would be true. However, I have cycled in one sitting 150 kilometers around a lake in New Zealand called Lake Taupo. I was on a road bike that Nadia bought for me. In fact, the first year I did it on a road bike that someone else bought for me. Then the following year, Nadia was determined that I would beat my time from the previous year, and with all of my sort of hours and hours of training, she would buy me a better bike so that I could beat my time from the first year. And she'd be happy to know that I did. Because the first time I cycled around this lake, now you and me, we had lunch the other day with someone who cycled to our house 12 kilometers. So then when they get there, they get inside, you're definitely like, oh, yo, like drink, like flannel, like anything you need, like whatever. And you're just like, thanks. 10Ks, when you're getting into 30, 40Ks, there you're fatiguing a little bit after that. You're starting to hit the 70 or 80K mark. Hey, you've hit that semi-pro. You're at that next level. 150Ks, though, I've like, you know how like cyclists, they have those pouches at the back? Mine were stacked Like I'm talking chocolate, lollies, jet planes. I was like a walking confectionery store, but on a bike, you know, like Powerade. Like I had so much stuff, like double bottles, like I was just the whole thing. Got to the point where the guy that we were following, because in cycling it's important to get behind someone who can go at a good pace, because it's like we learned that from the ducks, both the hockey team and also the birds. And I'm behind this guy. And then someone, we lost him. I don't know how we lost him. He got a puncture, and then the group broke up. And I was like, oh. And I'm with my guy, and this is my friend. I'm like, what are we going to do? He's like, I really need to take a leak. I was like, 100%. And he goes, let's just jump off, take a leak, figure out what's happening, and then we'll keep going. I was like, best idea ever. Jumped off, okay, jumped back on, waiting for the guy. And he's like, let's just go. Let's find another group, jump on the back of them, and then let's roll. I don't know if I've ever experienced as much pain getting back on the bike in my life as I did for that 10, 15-minute window. Because before that, everything, you're sore, but everything about your head is in the right place. Your body's going well. But then when you jump off, now you're just like, oh, man, there are the legs. And then all of that, and then you get back on. Cramp, fatigue. Like I was so sore. You know, they say it takes 30 days to start a new habit. And so what we do is we get momentum in life, and then we break our habits through speed wobbles and bad decisions. Welcome to humanity. And I think what God was saying to Moses this day was you have to, at some point, break camp and start afresh. But when you start afresh, don't stop moving. Because if you stop moving after 2 or 3 days of trying to just rearrange things a little bit and make some positive decisions, 2 or 3 days is not enough for you to gain momentum to make positive change in your life. He's like, if you're going to break camp and figure out what you want to carry in your life and continue to move forward, there has to be a point where you just keep on moving and don't stop despite the fact that everything in you wants to stop. Just keep putting one foot in front of the other. The Bible says about itself that it's not a laser beam. The Bible says about itself that it's not like this sun that can light up a big area. The Bible says about itself that it's a lamp to your feet, which is just enough light to figure out where you put the next step. In the Old Testament, the Bible talks about a man named Abraham was leaving Sodom and Gomorrah. And God said to him, and he was with 3 companions, and they were leaving this place, which represented their former lifestyle. And the city represented everything that was bad about the decisions that they had made. And God's like, hey, yeah, let's go. Rock and roll, move forward, let's go. Just one thing, don't look back. Just don't look back. That was it, don't look back. And they're like, yeah, it's pretty straightforward. And one person, Lot's wife, turns and looks back at Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible says that she's turned into a pillar of salt. That God's judgment on her in that moment was purely because she looked back. And I'll read that and think that I felt like that's a bit much. What's the lesson there? I don't know if you've ever been driving and you get distracted by something, you'll always drive to where your eyes are. So before you know it, you're like brr, brr, in those rumble strips or like up on the gutter, you know, and you're gonna, because you'll always go to where you're looking. And there are some things that you've done, some things that we've done, that you've been a part of, some decisions that you've made that are in the past. And God's just saying, I think now's the time. Just don't look back. Just keep moving forward. Philippians 3, if you wouldn't mind, Mike 13 says this. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Keep moving. Keep advancing. The challenge is that we consider this process to be hard work. That's the challenge, because it shouldn't be. Maybe Andy, come join me, bro. Sam Smith, who's not here today, he's with his mum, who's here from New Zealand and with Anna in New York. And he'll text me every now and then. He'll be like, hey, should we run tomorrow? And I'm like, yeah, sounds great, bro. Let's do that. And I'm like, and then the next question is, what time? And then the negotiation starts. The other day, he left his house at 5:15 and ran 20 kilometers. I think it's working, whatever that was. He left his house and ran 20 kilometers before work. So he ran 15 kilometers before he got to my house. And I live 3.5 kilometers from his house. So I was like, where did you go? He's like, oh, bro, up Riverside, down River Road, up Aviation Parkway. Man's like running to Montreal and back. And he turns up at my house. He's like, hey, man, is that us, you know? And so the negotiations will start. He's like, oh, what will work for me is like 6 a.m. I'm like, oh, hey, doesn't work for me. 7:30. He's like, oh, 6:10. 7:20. Like, it's like, oh, trying to buy a house, you know? And we end up sometimes getting about 6:20, 6:25, 6:30, whatever we've negotiated, whoever wins the negotiation for that day. And then I'm trying to avoid the dad bod. I'm trying to stay fit. I'm trying to be active because at 35, I know that it's a downward spiral. Whereas this guy's 29, best shape of his life. And so you get out, there's such a gap between us that he's kind of running for fun, I think. And I'm out there slogging, and then he's so encouraging afterwards. He texts, bro, killed it. Amazing pace, you know? And I'm like, dude, you're a liar, bro. Just say nothing, you know? I'm trying to run. Is this just too accurate? I'm trying to run to a goal. Like, I'm trying to run towards achievement. I could be meant to drop 10 pounds. I'm trying to run towards achievement. I'm trying to run to victory. But God is like saying, no, 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 no. You already have it. So we don't run to it. We run from it. Because he's already purchased everything that you and I need. And for sure, it's going to take some self-control just as well. That's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So then right now, as we come around communion, that's a great prayer to pray. God, help me. God, I'm hearing this. And I'm trying to figure out what to leave behind. I've tried it before. Been there, done that, didn't work. I want to be minimalistic in my approach to the things I carry and what I leave behind, but I need your help. And he's like, yeah, no problem. That's why I paid the ultimate price on the cross, so that I could provide all the help that you need. The first scripture I ever memorized, I don't know why, but it jumped out at me. Cast your burdens, or some translations say, cast your fears, 1 Peter 5:7, on him, because he cares for you. And for some reason, I really gravitated toward that scripture, that I could live light and not have to get up to slog through my Bible readings and slog through prayer and slog through building community. I can do it out of ease. I can do it from victory and not for victory because of him. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except for what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but then you are tempted. When you are tempted, it says, he will also provide you a way out so that you can endure it. The thing about God is that he's always going to give us a way out from the challenges that we've faced. I don't know about you, but like, how good are those mime guys? You know, when they like mime like a, you know, right, you know those guys? If you haven't seen guys that good at miming, you haven't been looking hard enough. That's actually a picture of us. We have all these things. We've got things that I've done, that's that wall. That's shame and guilt. Things that have been done to me, that's this wall. Hurt and offense. And we create ourselves a little prison, and then we try and break out of it from a moment of inspiration. But God's saying, hey, I've already taken everything and put it on the cross. You've got everything that you need. And so today, whilst today is maybe a more practical sermon in terms of breaking camp and moving forward in our life, it's also, I'm hoping, going to be a more relieving sermon for those of us that are here today, because we realize that there is absolutely a partnership we have with God, 100%. But he's the God of heaven and earth and has done so much for you and is willing to do so much for you in the future, to the point where there's a yielding that takes place to the Holy Spirit. Say, I really want to change. I really want to get better. I really want to let go, but I need your help. And so as we come and have this delicious bread, which represents Christ's body, it's a good representation of his body, because that stuff from Loblaws is all good. But this is just that next level. That I'm praying that our prayer today would be, God, let this cross represent what you've done for me. The Bible says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So that he paid that price that I've been talking to you about today, while we were still rotten, filthy, dirty sinners. He paid the ultimate price. And so that now that we're in his family, we say, God, I don't forget what you've done. I don't forget that you're still doing it for me. And so let me pray for you today, and we'll come and receive communion together. Father, we love you. We're so grateful for you. Praying, God, for your presence. Praying, God, today that we would be people, Father, who understand that there's so much that you've done for us already, that we run from victory and not to it. We don't run for it. You've already done everything that we need. We have everything that we need in this life. And whenever there's temptation, you make a way out. We're praying, God, speak to us today. Fill us up with your Holy Spirit today, we ask. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
We're so glad you joined us at Liberty City Podcast. Please check us out on social media and find an event to connect with us.